This is Digital Story Podcast number 1045, March 31st, 2026. Today's theme is why I revisited crop sensor mode on a full-frame camera. I'm Derek Story. The APS-C sensor isn't exactly chopped liver, right? And it becomes even more alluring when it's extending the reach of your telephoto by 1.5x and with no light loss. But you do lose a bit of resolution, and that was a speed bump for me. But I'm over it now, and I'll explain why, plus industry news in an interview with Rob Knight in today's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. In a sense, this is an extension of what we've been talking about over the last couple weeks, which how sensor size can dramatically influence the size of the camera, the reach of the camera, all sorts of good stuff, right? You know, smaller sensors, definitely smaller lenses, smaller form factors, but then again, fewer pixels. You know the story. We've been talking about it. But what about if you have a full frame camera, a nice big, you know, 35 millimeter sensor, and you want to extend the reach of your telephoto lens by, oh, let's say 1.5x or 1.6x, you can do that with no light loss at all. You lose a little bit of resolution using the crop sensor mode. Now, I became interested in this because of all my research with the smaller sensor cameras and then exploring ways to bump that resolution back up in post-production. So I've developed all these really cool workflows, my favorite being using Photomator and Super Resolution. That gives me a 2x bump on the resolution and it just looks really good. So I've been doing all of that stuff. And then I started thinking, well, if my only hesitation with using crop sensor mode on my Nikon ZF is that loss of resolution, I've been focusing on that for the last month. Why not see how that works with this camera? So that's exactly what I did. Now, the reason why I'm more interested in this than ever is because I have some trips coming up where I'm going to need the reach. Now, the lens that I'm going to use on my ZF is the Nikon 28-400mm f4/f8 zoom lens. I just really like that lens a lot. It's light and only weighs 1.6 pounds. It's not very big. You know, it's easy to carry around. For a Micro Four Thirds photographer, it feels really comfortable. It does. And that 400 millimeter reach is nice. But when I was playing around with the Panasonic camera that goes to 600 millimeters, I was going, well, 600 millimeters is even nicer. So I started doing some comparison shots with the Nikon, shooting at 400 millimeter and then going to what they call DX mode. It gives me 1.5 magnification. And then framing the same shot at 600 millimeters. And I'm going, you know, there's a difference here. It's a really nice difference. Doing all the steps or pixel peeping, all that kind of stuff. And I'll get into more of that in a minute. But the bottom line is that since I can bring the resolution back up in post-production using Super Resolution and Photomator, I sort of feel like I can have my cake and eat it too, and basically get 600 millimeters out of that Nikon lens and camera combination. All right, so let me back up a little bit here, and let's get into what exactly is crop sensor mode. Many full-frame cameras, all of them that I looked at, have a crop sensor setting that provides 1.5x or 1.6x magnification. Essentially, this mode uses the center area of the chip and not the full 35 by 24 millimeter surface. This allows photographers to use compatible crop sensor lenses, called DX in Nikon terms, on a full-frame body. But it's also a way to extend the reach of a full-frame optic without having to add a physical teleconverter. The catch is, since you're only using part of the sensor, the resolution decreases. In the case of my 24.4 megapixel Nikon ZF, I go from 6048 by 4032 pixels in FX mode to 3984 by 2656 in DX mode. That works out to be 10.6 megapixels. Unlike digital magnification that interpolates pixels, these are real pixels right off the sensor. DX mode renders both JPEGs and RAWs the same resolution. There are savings in file size too. A DX RAW from my ZF is around 14.6 megabytes compared to FX at 30.9 megabytes. So there's a little backgrounder on crop sensor mode. So I was talking about the Nikon because that's the full frame cameras that I use, but let me give you a feel for some of the other cameras because it can be even more alluring depending on how big your full frame sensor is. For instance, Sony full frame cameras all seem to have this mode. They either call it Super 35mm or APS-C mode. For example, the Sony A7R-V with a 61 megapixel sensor yields approximately 26 megapixels when using Super 35mm mode, the 1.5x crop factor. So you get the 1.5x and you still get a 26 megapixel shot with that camera. Pretty impressive, right? The Nikon full frame cameras, of course, all have it as well, and they have varying sizes in their sensors. Now, let's say the Z7 II, for example, has a 45.7 megapixel FX sensor. So that will give you a 19.5 megapixel image when using DX mode, which is a 1.5x crop. So that's pretty good. You're coming away with essentially 20 megapixels in crop mode. Canon full frame EOS R system cameras, of course, have this as well, and they have a 1.6 crop setting. So for example, the Canon EOS R 5 Mark II offers that 1.6 crop mode that produces approximately a 17.5 megapixel image. And then Panasonic, their L-mount cameras, such as the Lumix S5 Mark II, utilizes a 1.5 crop factor in its dedicated APS-C mode, reducing the 24.2 megapixel sensor's active area to an effective resolution of approximately 10.7 megapixels. Still, that's 3,984 by 2,656. Not bad. Not bad at all. And then, of course, there are the fixed mount cameras, right, with fixed lenses. So the Leica Q3 and the Fujifilm GFX100 RF are two that come to mind. The Leica Q3 has a 60 megapixel sensor, so it allows cropping to 35mm, 50mm, 75mm, or 90mm, right? Because it's got that nice big sensor. And then the Fujifilm, the GFX100 RF, takes us even further with its 102 megapixel, 44 by 33mm medium format sensor. So its fixed 35mm lens provides a 28mm equivalent field of view. Its high resolution allows for significant cropping, yielding a 66 megapixel shot in 35 millimeter mode, 31 megapixel shot at 50 millimeters, and a 20 megapixel shot at 63 millimeter equivalent. Crop mode can really give you a lot of versatility. And for photographers like me, who this summer am looking for a little bit more reach with my telephoto lens, can really help. Let's talk a little bit more about that drop in resolution. So with my Nikon, which is only a 24 megapixel sensor to start with, I'm dropping down to 10.6 megapixels. That was a speed bump for me prior to all of my research that I've been doing over the last couple months. Sure, for publishing online, 3,984 pixels on the longest side is more than enough. You know, I don't need that much. But beyond that, let's say for printing, it can be a bit short. Plus, why not just crop the FX version of the shot in post-production and call it a day, right? That's an alternative. You don't need to go to crop sensor mode. You could just crop in post. What changed things for me was the potential of AI resolution enhancement when I needed it. If, for example, I use Photometer Super Resolution Enhancement, I could enlarge that 10.6 megapixel shot to 6,147 by 4,095 pixels. That's essentially the same size of the FX version with no noticeable loss of detail. In fact, sometimes the shot looks better. So having this in my back pocket led me to revisiting this DX mode. Now for some folks, they're just going to go, no, I don't want to mess with this. I'm just going to shoot regular full frame. I'll do my cropping in post and call it a day. I don't trust AI resolution enhancement. You know, I think it looks different. You know, there's all those pushbacks, and I respect all of those opinions. Of course I do. You know, you be you. But for me, the two areas that I've been testing, which is publishing online and then printing, the AI resolution enhancement has worked really well, and I don't see the trade-offs. I really don't. Now, I'm not a 200% pixel peeper on a 5K resolution monitor kind of guy. So I'm sure if we dug in that deeply, I could probably see some changes. But I'm talking about my everyday use, you know, publishing pictures online, making prints, doing the stuff that I do in my normal flow. They look great. And I have compared them to the standard FX images that are cropped. So it's up to you. I mean, everyone's mileage varies on these sort of things. And I like to throw out creative ideas, and you can throw it right back if it's not your cup of tea. But I'm telling you, for me, for example, when I'm out there shooting, and I did a test shoot on Saturday with this, I set up a button on the back of the ZF so I could just toggle between FX mode and DX mode. And it was fun toggling. It really was fun. A couple more reasons why I sort of like this approach is that I get to frame the shot the way that I see the shot and not say, okay, I know I can crop it later. There's something about the experience of it for me that I like. It keeps me from having to go out and get bigger lenses to get that reach that I want. And in fact, if I wanted, I could put DX lenses on the camera, shoot in DX mode, and be even lighter, right? Travel even lighter than what I do right now. So those sort of things sort of come into play. And I think it comes down to, you know, photographers who like to experience their shots in the field probably will be interested in shooting this crop sensor approach. Photographers who see their shot more in the field as just gathering data, but the real work happens, the real creativity happens in post-production, will probably continue to shoot in full frame and then just do their work in post-production, including the cropping. So, final thoughts on this. Photographers with full-frame sensors who don't always need the highest resolution they provide can extend the reach of their existing telephoto lenses or travel lighter with optics by switching to crop sensor mode. It's not a choice for everyone, but for those willing to exchange pixels for reach, they can travel with smaller, more flexible optics. As for me, with my Nikon ZF, I'm going to continue stretching my 28 to 400 millimeter Nikkor zoom to 600 millimeters when the occasion calls for it. I'm a fan of DX mode, and thanks a lot to AI upsampling to make that transition for me just a bit easier. Let's take a look at a couple news stories. This first one's from Petapixel, and this is a follow-up to a news story I did last week on the Lumix TZ300 that was coming out. I was very interested in this camera because of its 1-inch sensor and because of its reach, I believe something like 360 millimeters in a compact camera. So the camera did come out as predicted, but guess what? They forgot the electronic viewfinder that was on, you know, the previous model. Well, Petapixel sort of picked up on this, and here's their article, Panasonic, please stop removing viewfinders. And I have a link in the show notes. Earlier this week, Panasonic unveiled the Lumix ZS300, also known as the TZ300, in some markets. The new compact camera is nearly identical to its predecessor, released in 2018, except for one big thing. The ZS200's electronic viewfinder has been removed, replaced with nothing but more plastic. There are logical explanations for this, but they do little to stop me from disliking the change. This is not the first time Panasonic has done this with a refreshed new compact camera. The company did the same thing in December 2024 when it announced the ZS99 or the TZ99. This camera, a technical successor to the ZS80 and the ZS80D models, was nearly identical to its predecessor, save for the electronic viewfinder, which was left on the cutting room floor. There are still benefits to these new models. There is the move to USB-C required by EU law, which is convenient. Then there's the more important fact that the ZS99 and the ZS300 are actively manufactured products, unlike their predecessors, which makes them more accessible to photographers today. However, removing the EVF is undoubtedly disappointing and, in my opinion, significantly harms the user experience of the new compact camera. Beyond the convenience and, I think, superior experience of shooting photos through a viewfinder, there's also stability to consider. The ZS99 has a 30x optical zoom, while the ZS300 sports a bigger sensor but a shorter 15x zoom range. In either case, that's a lot of zoom, and it's much easier to keep things steady and well-framed at long focal lengths when holding the camera to your face than when holding it out in front of you at arm's length. That's just bad shooting technique. And I would say especially bad for telephoto work. All right, I'm going to jump down to the bottom here. There's lots more in this article. So if you are interested in it, you should go read it. All right, let's get to the last two paragraphs here. Most of us here at Petapixel care about an EVF. However, I don't think the ZS99 and the ZS300 are actually for us at all. That's fine, but it's still disappointing. More importantly, I wish Panasonic could find a way to meet all its objectives with the ZS99 and 300 while still keeping the EVF around. Without the EVF, the camera strikes me as a bit of a cash grab, a conservative, overly safe attempt to capitalize on a compact camera boom without taking risks on the risks necessary for something truly innovative or interesting. The ZS99 and ZS300 may even prove successful products from a commercial perspective and even appeal to many prospective compact camera buyers, but from where I'm sitting, they are missed opportunities. And I agree. Like I said last week, I was a little interested in what this camera was going to be. And I thought, wow, you know, they had a good foundation to build on, has a Leica lens, has a great form factor, it's beautiful, all that kind of stuff. What improvements would they make to the old model to make it even more tempting? Really, the only improvement is a USB-C port, which they had to put on because of the EU requirement. And then it actually went backwards. So, oh well, it happens sometimes. Here's an ongoing discussion, and this has come out of some of the interviews that have happened recently with OM System. This particular article is on DP Review. Never say never, OM System reopens the door to compact cameras. So the article starts out, and I have the whole thing on here in the show notes, the link to it. It starts out that not that long ago, OM System had no plans at all to develop a compact camera beyond the TG series. They felt that this was a temporary trend. They thought that high-end compacts would require too much investment, research, and development. Now, though, they seem to have changed their mind. We are closely monitoring and analyzing this trend, they say. The situation is very clear, he says, adding that the compact camera segment has shown signs of growth over the past 2 or 3 years. As they see it, some users who originally intended to purchase an ILC but were unable to do so because of higher prices are increasingly considering premium compact cameras as an alternative. With this apparent change in stance, it doesn't necessarily mean we should expect OM System Compact this year, or at all for that matter, but it does leave the door open for hope among compact fans looking for a truly new option. Kind of along with that, here's another confirmation that it seems that a new Pen F is on its way, or at least a new pen. The new pen's concept progress is on schedule, they say. We already started creating the design concept, so we already started some kind of pen camera project. Progress is good. While that was the extent of the detail they were able to share, they add that the new pen will satisfy many, many younger generations in the future. It certainly is an exciting sounding teaser at the very least. So stuff is in the works with OM System. We don't know what is going to fall off the OM System cart in the near future. But when they're talking about things like this, about compact cameras, about a new pen, they're not doing so unless they're serious about it. So I think it's safe to say that we're going to see something. It's just a matter of what and when. Let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I'm going to start out with a chat that I had with Rob Knight. And Rob Knight is now the educational director for Red River Paper. It's very exciting because he is exactly the right guy for that job. He loves this stuff. He knows how to get out there and get people excited. He's a good speaker, as all of you know. And he loves printing. I mean, he's just crazy about it. So I was thinking, okay, Rob, you have got to come onto the show. Talk to all of us about what's going on. You've just completed your first event. You've got more things in the works. Tell us all about this engagement with photographers and printing and Red River Paper. So here he is. Hey, Rob, good to see you today.
Hey, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Red River Paper today. This is crazy. I don't think a lot of people know the changes that are happening. And I, you know, you and I were talking about, and I said, dude, we got to talk about this on the podcast. And you just finished an event. So tell us about it. Tell us what's going on with you and Red River Paper.
Yeah, well, thanks to you, last year, by the end of last year, I started having conversations with our buddy Drew at Red River Paper. And he was looking for an education director. And the idea was to create educational content that would help promote the brand and help make people aware of Red River Paper. The original ideas were around online things and webinars. My ideas were more like, hey, if we're making paper, we need to put this in people's hands. We need to let photographers make prints and hold them in their hands so you can really see and feel the difference between matte paper and gloss paper and fiber and all these different wonderful papers that they have. You know, we could talk about them online all day, but really until you see it, it's really hard to get that idea across. About 2 weeks ago now was sort of the first of my pilot program with a camera club presentation. And I met with the Sweetwater Camera Club here in Atlanta, and they've been going for 37 years. This club has been active for 37 years. I went over on a Saturday and met with their wonderful group, and we had breakfast together, and they're just so excited about all types of photography. And one of the big parts of their club is their monthly contest. It's amazing to me that they have their themes for their monthly contests published a year in advance. During their meeting, they were talking about the themes for next year, for next spring, for their monthly contest. So they take this very seriously, and everybody works really hard on their monthly contest entries. So for the meeting that I did for them, I had all of their entries emailed directly to me. Now, they usually do their contest just digitally. I printed all of the entries, 40 plus entries. I think there were 45 entries on different types of Red River paper based on the subject matter and whether it was color or black and white. And I took it upon myself to choose the appropriate types of paper. So then their contest was actually judged on these 8x10 prints that I had made. And we laid them all out, and they were just super excited to see everything in print because some people don't print very much, and they're used to the digital contest. But then to be able to talk about the pictures, and then everybody was holding up their prints and talking about how they made the picture, and I did a critique for everybody, and everybody was so excited about Red River paper and so grateful. I had so many questions after the fact about what type of paper and how to calibrate their monitors and all these different things that go into great prints at home. To me, it was just such a great success for the first implementation of this idea that I had about moving this paper.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like so much fun. I'm wondering, were any of the comments that you got about how their image looked different on paper or how they saw things they might not have seen before or anything of that nature? Did you get any comments around along those lines?
I did. One of the first comments that I heard after I laid out all the prints on this big table, the theme for that month was car parts. And one of the members said, "Wow, these prints look great. I would not have thought that car parts would be anything that you would print, but these look really great." And then the funny part was she ended up winning one of the categories and coming in second in another. So. And I was teasing her when she got her award. I said, "So you don't think car part pictures would make nice prints? I think you did all right either way."
Man,
It
I'm
was fun.
thinking of a set of fine art cards with the best ones. That wouldn't it be cool for a car
Heck yeah. Yeah, it was
nerd?
very cool. Very
Yeah,
cool.
this is fantastic. So then you've got more of these coming up, or you're planning more, or kind of what does the rest of 2026 look like for you, the educational director of Red River Paper, and Drew, the main man there?
Yeah. Well, we do have one webinar that I'm working on scheduling now, but I've already got meetings like this planned for the Georgia Nature Photographers Association. There are, I believe, a dozen chapters around the state of Georgia, and it's easy for me to get to because I'm based in Atlanta. So I'm going to Savannah for a GMPA meeting that's similar to this meeting that I had with the Sweetwater Club. So I'll print their pictures and then I'll do the same kind of a thing. We'll have a printing seminar. It's in Savannah, so I can actually bring my printer with me. We can print, on site. That'll be great. I was just teaching last weekend at the Florida Camera Club Council annual expo in Bradenton, Florida, and I talked to several camera club presidents and directors, and they were very excited about this idea too. So, hopefully this type of thing can get to different camera clubs, and it'll allow, like I mentioned, the Sweetwater Club usually just does a digital contest. I talked to the clubs that I spoke to in Florida. Their monthly contests are usually digital. So it's an opportunity for them to have nice prints of their work, and it doesn't cost them anything, and they can learn about, how to get these prints at home without spending an arm and a leg. As printers now are so reasonable. There's so many great options for making great prints at home, and I think this is just a great time to spread the word.
That's awesome. Well, I think what we'll do is maybe we'll do another check-in up the road a bit and just see how this is going. But I'm excited about this. You and I talked about this. The thing is, if we want to talk about printing, getting prints in your hands is the best way to have that discussion. So I'm really glad you're doing this. Thanks for stopping by and bringing us up to speed.
Absolutely. I do want to mention one more thing. If you're in the St. Augustine, Florida area next month, it used to be called Florida's Birding and Photo Fest, and now it's just Florida's Photo Fest. I believe it's the 24th through the 28th. I'll be there all week with a printer at the Red River booth. That event is a lot of shooting. It's a lot of field work, and there's sunrise shoots and trips to the alligator farm and all these things. So everybody's shooting the whole week. So anything that you photograph, bring it to me. I'll make an 8x10 print of it. You can pick the paper. I'll have lots of different examples there. And I'm going to hang them up in a gallery. And then at the end of the week, our friends at Canon are going to donate the printer that I'm using, which is the Pro 310. And whoever wins the contest, I'm sure I'll find a great judge there. Whoever wins the contest is going to be able to take that printer home. So
All
thanks to
right.
Red River Paper and Canon printers.
That's awesome. So, send me the link and I'll put the link to that, Rob, in the show notes so everyone can go over there and check it out.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And if anybody wants, if you're interested in a presentation like this for your club or a printing seminar like this, then definitely email me, rob@robknightphoto.com, and we'll try to get you on the schedule.
Right on. Thanks so much, man. Talk to you
Yeah, man.
later.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Rob. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens for the rest of the year. And I have a link to the Florida Photo Show in the show notes. I want to mention that our Creative Camera Techniques workshop begins this Thursday. Now, if you have signed up for it, but you haven't gone through and made your class reservation yet, please do so as soon as possible. This is going to be a fun workshop. Our first session is titled Old Cameras, Old Lenses, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we just go from there. All sorts of cool techniques, anything to get your creative juices flowing and create pictures that are unique from what you're doing right now with your state-of-the-art mirrorless camera. If you're having any issues, if you signed up for the workshop and you haven't seen anything, just write me at dstory@gmail.com. I'll get you fixed up right away. Our first class is Thursday morning, so don't delay. And finally, I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support this podcast, this community, month in and month out. The Creative Camera Techniques Workshop is chock full of Inner Circle Bold members because it was one of their perks for being an Inner Circle Bold member. That means that for $7 a month, you get all the other discounts, you get all the other perks, you get access to all the good stuff, our online community, and you get a free online workshop that is just rocking fun. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle Bold member or an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Sign up there, and the next thing you know, you'll be hearing from me. And a big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Working on more fun stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye bye now.